Shir is being dedicated Leilui Nishmas Maris Racholeya Reb Chaim Tzvi. We take a look at the first Rashi in the book of Bereishit. Obviously, the way Rashi is going to begin his commentary is going to be fundamental in understanding what the Chumash is all about, what Sefer Bereishit is all about. We find a very famous Rashi, which I'd like to examine a little bit deeper, Mirtz Hashem, today. Rashi says, Reb Yitzchak asked, the Torah needed only to begin with the verse, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, which is, this month for you is the chief of all months, from the first mitzvah that Klai Yisrael is commanded to observe. What, then, is the reason that the Torah begins with Bereishit? So Rashi begins with the famous question of Rabbi Yitzchak, the Medrash brings down, of why did the Torah begin with the whole story of Bereishit, when if we understand the Torah to be a book of laws, the Torah to be an instructional manual on for our behavior, would it not have made more sense that the Torah begins with the first mitzvah? You begin off with the Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. This is how you behave, and go from there. Why was it necessary to have the whole story of Ma'aseh Bereishit? So the Medrash answers, Koach Masav Higid Lamo Latelem Nachla Goyim. The Pasuk, he declared the power of his deeds to his nation to give them the inheritance of his people. If the nations of the world should say to Yisrael, listen, listimatem, that you are thieves, for you have occupied the lands of the seven nations, right? How dare you have Eretz Yisrael? The Jewish people can reply to them, the entire world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created and gave it to me, please. When he desired, he gave it to them, the seven nations. And when he desired, he took it from them and gave it to us. So according to Rashi, this is the proof that the world belongs to Hashem, that Hashem created the world. And therefore, if Hashem created the world, then he has the right to give any part of the world to anyone he wants. And this is the right that the Jewish people have, the land of Israel. And the nations can say, listimatem, you are thieves. Now, even before we begin to analyze quite a number of questions on Rashi, it's important to note that the question of Rabbi Yitzchak, of why does the Torah begin with the story of Bereishit and not with the Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, it's because there must be something here that we wouldn't have if it was just starting from a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. And this is what the Ramban notes, however, as well. The Ramban in Source 2 says that Hashem's ownership of the world would have been known even without the account of Ma'aseh Bereishit. You have, for example, the Pasuk in the Aseret Dibro, Ki Sheish Yamim Asa Hashem Et Hashamayim Ve'et Ha'aretz. Right, in 6 days Hashem created the heavens and the earth. So obviously there must be something else going on here than just to tell us that Hashem owns the world. And as Rav Naiman points out in Darchei Musar, he says, really, Rabbi Yitzchak is asking, why is it necessary to begin from Ma'aseh Bereishit? Because he says in Source 3, Kol mi sheyesh lo moch bekatko, anyone who has any brains in his head, alav lakir mitoch habriyat sma, will recognize through the creation itself, through every leaf, through every fruit, that there must have been a creator. So this is Rabbi Yitzchak's question. It can't just be telling us that God created the world. That's like obvious. You look around the world, and of course you believe this is a borei olam. From every corner we see the galus haborei. And therefore, the question of Rabbi Yitzchak is an excellent question. Why does the Torah begin with Ma'aseh Bereishit? It must be teaching us something else. It must be teaching us something deeper. There must be something here. And Rabbi Yitzchak uses the Medrash response to say this is the ownership of Eretz Yisrael. But the question has to be understood. The Ma'aseh Bereishit in its own veriness, the Ramban continues to elucidate in Source number 2, is something we don't even understand, even with the small amount that's found in the Chumash. It's obviously not about Hashem just creating the world. There's obviously something much deeper that's being found in this particular section that we have to understand. And that's what Rabbi Yitzchak is really asking. It's not so much of why doesn't it begin with the first mitzvah, as much as why is it necessary to have this introduction of Ma'aseh Bereishit. But when we look at Rashi, when we look at the response of Rabbi Yitzchak, there are quite a number of questions that arise. The Biyam Derech in 4a, 4b, and source number 5 raises some of them. For example, Ha'im Agoyim Shebaim Larivi Manu V'Tonim Klapenu Listimatem Yatu Ozen Lishmo Tshuvatenu Zot. So if the whole reason we have Ma'aseh Bereishit is to show our ownership of Eretz Yisrael, so the first question is, are these nations going to listen to this answer? I mean, if the nations really believe, then they'd believe whether we had this or we didn't have this. I mean, this is going to be a response. Let me tell you, nations of the world, listen clearly. Hashem created the world and He gave it to us. Is this going to be a response to the nations of the world? And further, in 4b, V'tanatama lo shabanu b'derech koach v'zro b'milchama. And further, the nations' argument is, you forcibly took it, you took it in war. So if indeed you want to say that God gives it to whoever he wants to, so the nations can still argue, Listimatem, but you're thieves. You grabbed it away from us. You fought it. Like, why was that necessary? So we still have to understand what is here in Ma'aseh Bereishit that's so crucial, it's so fundamental, that are the nations going to really listen? The nations have a good argument that we forcibly took the land. And further in source 5, if you want to argue that the nations will listen and that the nations will understand God created the world, so then just have Ma'aseh Bereishit and go then straight to Chodesh Atzel Lachem. Why is it necessary then to have the whole story of the Avos and going down to Egypt and Yaakov Avinu's children and the Shibut and the slavery? See, it's right, we could skip all of that. If it's indeed to tell us God's ownership of the world, so just tell us that and then go straight into the mitzvot. So again, there must be something deeper here. There must be something much more fundamental. And I think this is what behooves us to do really with every single Rashi, with every Ma'amar Chazal. And obviously it takes a tremendous amount of effort and study. And that's what part of Limud HaTorah about. And that's why it's an endless mini yam experience, is to be able to take a look at Rashi like this. And we're only going to scratch the surface today, Bezrat Hashem. And to be able to understand that this Rashi is teaching us so many fundamental principles that are so applicable for our lives. I'd like us to take a look at this Rashi on around three and a half different dimensions to see what we can learn. Dimension number one is the Echinami. You're right. This Rashi is to tell the nations of the world, as well as the Jews, of the primacy of Eretz Yisrael. And here, Rav Wolbe points out, in source number 6, Miyad ma'pasuk ha'rishon batara ha'mabat hu al Eretz Yisrael. From moment go, from Bereishis Baro, we should see, and we see this from this first Rashi, all of this is to teach us, Koach ma'isav higid la'amo, la'te lem nachla goyim, ha'mabav ha'tachlid hein Eretz Yisrael. If you want to know what the emphasis and the focus of the entire Torah is, it's about that Hashem gave us the land of Israel. The land of Israel is miyuchad, is special for the Shekhinah, for the divine presence to rest there. It's this place which is a tachlis habriyah hagashmi. It's the purpose of the whole world. Is the place where Hashem can rest on the Jewish people. And that ideal place where the people and God can reside in unison is Eretz Yisrael. And that is why Rabbi Yitzchak is teaching us that even before I can tell you the first mitzvah of Chodesh Atzel Lachem, Rav Wolbe continues, I have to tell you the best place to keep the Torah. That the essential place of Torah observance is Eretz Yisrael. Anytime we observe Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael, yes, we get a reward, but it's really for practice to be able, and all of our tefillos and all of our focus is about when are we going to return to Eretz Yisrael. So according to the first interpretation, why is this so important to begin with this Ma'aseh Bereishit? Is to tell us Koach Ma'aseh Higid Lamo, to tell us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the world and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us Eretz Yisrael to be our land. And it's equally for the nations as well as for the Jews to recognize this centrality of Eretz Yisrael in our lives. And as the Rav Wolbe continues, and he says, Shekol ha'parsha zu lo nichtava ela kedei lasbir legoyim lama magia lanu et Eretz Yisrael, that we understand why we have Eretz Yisrael and why it's such a major part of our lives. Rav Wolfson in Sefer Wellsprings of Faith, and source 8, 7, 8, and 9 points out that Adam HaRishon is created from Eretz Yisrael. He's created from the Makom HaMikdash. He has Eretz Yisrael in him. The first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to the Avos, Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, it's always about Lech Lecha. It's about Gor Baritz Hatzot. It's about Eretz Yisrael. This is the central theme of all of Torah. And in fact, he points out the first Haftorah that we read this Shabbos, the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, thus says Hashem, who created the heavens and set them in the place, who spread out the land and all that it brought it forth, and who gives its soul to the people who are upon it, and a spirit to those who walk within it. Which land is being described here? Which land gives a soul to the people who live upon it? Says Rav Wolfson, the Gemara's answer is Eretz Yisrael. And from the phrase that begins, who gives a soul to the people who are upon it, we learn that a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael will be forgiven for his sins and will receive the reward of Olam Haba, the world to come. Even one who merely walks 4 amos in Eretz Yisrael will receive a share in the world to come. And that's why the first Haftorah is also about the primacy of Eretz Yisrael. It was interesting, a few days ago, our 7-year-old Hanala woke up one morning with a perturbed look, and she said, Ima, I have a question to ask you. What was she thinking about? She says, Ima, if you walk in your house in Eretz Yisrael, do you also get a kinyan of Olam Haba, or is it only walking outside? And I think that that is just an indication, that vignette, of the Yiludei Eretz Yisrael, of raising children in Eretz Yisrael, how their whole mindset is a different mindset. It's about Kedusha. It's about wondering, you know, walking in my house from my room to the kitchen. Is that also a Kona Olam Haba? Do I get a deeper level of Olam Haba? Because this is understanding that the place where every Jew belongs, the centrality of every person, is Eretz Yisrael. And this is a message for us as well as the message for the Umos HaOlam. You know, just to share another short story, a personal story where I saw this a bit, how even the Umos HaOlam, how even the nations of the world are able to appreciate our place in Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, you look at the political climate throughout the generations, throughout the years, Eretz Yisrael has always been a place which has been conquered and reconquered, and everyone wants a handle on it. The Christians, the Muslims, the Jews. It is one of the most central places that takes up an enormous amount of space in the news and in the focus in the world in such a small piece of land. That's the first Rashi, that the whole world, the heartbeat of the world is Eretz Yisrael. Beyond that, you can't even go. This is where it's at. So I remember when I was 21, living in New York City for many years, when I could have gotten a license and taking the subways, it wasn't necessary to learn how to drive. So at 21, I learned how to drive. And the way we chose a driving school is very simply going through the phone book and calling up which one was the cheapest. And you get what you pay for, okay? So it was this, it was called Perla Driving School, it's a Spanish-owned company. And I remember going for the driving test, and my own driving teacher didn't take me because he had broken his arm when somebody had crashed who he was taking around. That's a separate story. So this other person took me, from Spanish origin, Hispanic origin, and I had brought with me a sefer. I knew I'd be having to wait. I had a Torah Tumimim with me. And when he picked me up, he asked me, you know, what is that? So I explained to him it's a Chumash, and he asked me the language. I told him it was Hebrew. And he went on and on saying how special the Jews are, how wonderful the Jews are, how the land of Israel was not cultivated until the Jews came back, and no other people was able to cultivate it. It was like Mama, she was reading the Ramban, you know, in Chumash, you know, on and on. And the Jews are the smartest and the best, and Israel is the best place, you know. And I was with another Hispanic person, both taking the test. I felt like this tremendous weight that I had to pass this test, you know, just to continue this, aura that the Jews are special and great. And Baruch Hashem, I did. We won't talk about this other person, but Baruch Hashem, I did pass it. But it was, again, it was such an indication of how even the Umos HaOlam are able to see, some of them, halavai, all of them, the specialness and our place and our connection to Eretz Yisrael. So that clearly is the first understanding of Rashi. World news is going to be about the land of Israel. It's going to be the most argued piece of land around. That even land that we've conquered, they're going to say, Lisi Matam, you're robbers. Give back the West Bank, give back the Gush. Give back Gush Katif, give back the Golan. It boggles the mind. Since when do we give back New York? Because we bought it from the Indians. No, this is totally different. Why? Because Chumash, from moments go, is going to tell you, this is what the Umos are going to say, Listim Atem, you're robbers. And we have to establish from moment go how Eretz Yisrael is a central place in this world and recognize God's hand and God's control in this piece of land that's not going to be al piderech hateva. It's not going to be a natural experience. That's the first fundamental idea Rashi's teaching us. The second idea he's teaching us is the second idea brought in the Rav Volbi Sefer on Shiur B'Chumash in 10a, where he speaks about that what we learn from this piece and from the stories in Sefer Breishis, Shemi Sheino Ra'ui Ma'abede Mekomo, that the second lesson that we learn is that if somebody is not worthy, they lose their place. Adam Rishon gets thrown out of Gan Eden, the Dor HaMabul gets destroyed, the Dor HaFlaga with the Migdal Bavel gets scattered, and we see over and over again that sin, the result of sin, the consequence of sin, is that you lose your place, your land. And therefore, the Torah goes through these different stories to explain that Canaan, who sinned, is therefore deserving. The natural consequence is that they are going to lose their place and it's going to be given over to the Jews. And Zeu Yesod Gadol Banaga, and this is teaching us a fundamental principle in the way God runs the world. Goy Sheino Ra'ui Ma'abede Mekomo. A person's not worthy, a nation's not worthy, they lose their place. And this is all found in the beginning of Maisa Breishi, to say this is a soul gadol, that Kla Yisrael have taken over Eretz Yisrael because others did not deserve it, and we were given in its place. And recognize that there's a system called reward and punishment. And this is the idea Rav Belsky in Einei Yisrael develops. He says a careful reading of the parasha in Source 11 reveals that every step in the process of creation included a commandment consisting of instructions, and Hashem commanded man to do A, B, or C. And every act of aspect of creation has a God-given role it must perform. And all of creation is bidden to do Hashem's will. And if we are not doing Hashem's will, then there's a consequence. And that's why the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Basar Ma'amaros Nivra Olam, in 10 utterances the world was created. Why? To bestow a godly reward upon the righteous who sustain a world that was created with 10 utterances. My Sebreishit in 13 may teach us that Hashem is the Borei Olam, the creator of the world. But it also teaches us, my friends, the principle of Schar Va'onish, reward and punishment. That we have to understand that this idea of if you do God's will and you do God's bidding, you are rewarded. And you don't, you are punished. And again, we see this from moment go. Whether it's Adam and Chava, whether it's Cain and Hevel, whether it's Noah, whatever it is, that there's a consequence to their sins. And this, my friends, is the second level of understanding what Rashi is teaching us. Is that the Chumash doesn't only begin with Maaseh Bereishit, but tells us all the stories that happen to contrast the Umos Olam, the nations, with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And to tell us that those who do God's bidding will receive a reward, and those who disobey God, whether it's the land that did not have the trees go properly, and they get punished. Whoever, whatever it is, there is a punishment. There is a consequence for our behavior. And that the nations of the world should recognize that this is the system that God has established from moment go. So this is almost a universal principle that Rashi is teaching us. Will the nations listen to this or not? It has to be understood. It's a principle like gravity. Just like you throw something up, it comes down. Likewise, God wanted to establish, and that's what Rabbi Yitzchak is teaching us from the first Rashi, that if you want to know what are certain fundamental principles you need to know before entering this world, before for the Jews, before even keeping Torah mitzvot, and for the nations before living in this world, before I can command you to do anything, before I can even bring you into this world, I need you to know that there's going to be a schar v'onesh, a system of reward and punishment. And don't think that you're the baal bayis. Don't think that you're the owner of your home. So in your own home, you may feel like you could do whatever you want and there are no consequences. You want to break your own windows, gesunte hate. You want to set a fire to your house, gesunte hate. You want to keep it a mess, gesunte hate. It's your home. No, the first Rashi koch ma'isav higilamo. It's no. Birtzona nana, birtzona nadla. Hashem gives, Hashem takes. Hashem is the master of the world. We are living in Hashem's home. And because we are living in somebody else's home, we have to abide by their rules. And just like rules have consequences and rules have rewards, this is a reward and punishment system for our world. For the nations, they need to understand this, that it's not a hefker world, that you can have a city like Nineveh that's going to steal and there are consequences, and that the nations of the world have to understand that there's a door of Mabel and there's a door of Flugga and you can't do whatever you want, and God will come and destroy if you're going to be stealing from others. The flood will come. And the Jews have to understand before they're given the first mitzvah that mitzvahs aren't just a nice suggestion to do, but when God commands, He expects something to be done. He expects, whether it's the seven, Noahite laws for the nations, the 613 laws for the Jews, He expects that when you live in His home, that you have to be able to understand what are the rules of His home and be able to abide by it. That is the fundamental idea that Rabbi Yitzchak is teaching us from moment go. So the first answer we have is to teach us about the centrality of Eretz Yisrael, why Eretz Yisrael takes up a major part of the political history of the world. It's because this is the place that God wants to reside, and therefore it has an almost supernatural aura and battle over it. On the second level, it's to understand that there is reward and punishment in this world, and it's not hefker. It's not that anyone can do whatever they want, and this has to be laid clearly, that everyone knows from moment go what is the system in this world. It's like, first day of class, teacher lays down the rules. You can't run a classroom without it. So too, Hashem brings us into His world, He lays down the rules. The third level and the fourth level I'd like to spend a bit more time on. The third level is an interesting insight from Biyam Derech, where he says in Source 15 the following. He says, before you can be able to have the idea of mitzvos, of kiyum ha-mitzvos, you have to have the idea of kabbalat ol machut shamayim. You have to be able to accept upon yourself the yoke of God's kingship. And you have to be able to have the basic rubric of emunah, of faith, down, solid, before you can be able to interact with a system called Torah. And the three fundamental principles, he says, that we need to have is one, shikabel alav o machut shamayim tchila v'achar kach yikabel alav o mitzvot. You have to first believe in Hashem, take upon yourself the yoke of God's kingdom, even before you can talk about mitzvot. Two, the o machut shamayim zeh sarich sheyeh me'ava mitzboninu begadlut ubegvuras Hashem. Coming to accepting the yoke of God to come from love, looking at the world, looking at the creations, and being able to see the wonder of Hashem, the beauty of Hashem. And three, the emunat o machut shamayim zu, shetehei this knowledge of Hashem's kingdom, shetehei brura umatmedet ba'ofen shetakor v'tisharesh et et emunah hamikra v'atevah. That has to be so well ingrained that there's no concept of chance, there's no concept of coincidence, but we have to live a life where we recognize that Hashem is running the show at every step of the way. It's like the Maisa of Rabbi Leibele Eger, who learned in Kutsk for many years, and when he came back, his father asked him, what did you learn in Kutsk, right, by the Kutsker Rebbe? He says, I learned that there's a Borei Olam. I know that Hashem runs the world. So his father says, even the chambermaid knows that God runs the world. So so Reb Leibel Eger responds, he says, there's a difference between knowing and knowing. I know God runs the world. And that's what we're talking about here. Many of us know God runs the world intellectually, cognitively. But do we know it? Does our entire being sense it and feel it, and that we recognize that everything that happens to us is being orchestrated and directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that there's no chance and there's nothing but the Yad of Hashem, the hand of God? Do we have that knowledge that Reb Leibel Eger was able to say, but I know it and I needed to spend years in Kutsk to know it? That's what we need to work on. And here the Be'am Derech points out, the first idea, the Amud Arushon, is Shikabel Alav Oma Chut Shamayim Tchila, is to first work on recognizing that you have to be Mishtabed Libo L'Koach HaOlyon Biyoter, to recognize that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. The first step is that there's no suffix, there's no doubt in your mind that God is there. The Chikol Ritzono B'Briya in 16, Leitiv L'Bruav, and that Hashem created the world in order to give to His creations. And the second is to be able then to look at this world and to be able to see the beauty in this world and to be moser nefesh and to give of yourself completely. The tzama nafshi lokim lekel chai. David HaMelech saying, I'm yearning for you, God. When you see God so vividly and so clearly, then all you want to do is serve Hashem. But he says the most challenging of the three in Source 18 is the third. To recognize that Hashem runs the world and He's given this world for goodness for people, I can understand. And to be able to look at the Bria, to look at the creation and see God's hand and have a yearning and a pining for God, I can also work on. But to make this part and parcel of our lives, he says that is the most challenging of the three. That is by far the most difficult. And he notes here the following in Source 18. Amur shlishi shal munavu akoshi b'shemunah. The most difficult is shetehei emunazu brura ritzufah matmeder etzel adam, but often in a way that's going to get rid of any idea of mikra, of chance, and to be able to see v'yamin ba'ofen matmi, to be able to see on a continual level. Al kol iruei achayim, on everything that happens, hapokdimoto. Everything that happened, when we get those parking spaces, when there's a quarter in the meter, when there's nobody online, and all of these events, avshi nirei lo muvenet, even in situations that we don't understand, that are obviously more complicated, illness and distress and financial aspects, he betzedek ube yosher, everything is just. And even if we look at the world and we say, I can't understand it, recognize that ultimately this is for our best good, that we can't just look at the here and now, we have to see the nitzchius, we have to see the eternity of this as well. And this knowledge that everything is for our best and God has our best interests in mind has to be without pausing, so that a person can be able to repeat it over and over again, 100 brachas a day, being able to see Hashem's hand, even in the smallest things, zokev kafufim, to be able to stand upright, to be able to walk, to be able to open your eyes, that you recognize that you can't take any of this for granted. If any of us have ever had a problem with any part of your body, right? I'm suffering right now from a knee problem, you recognize to stand up. It's a bracha, zokev kafufim, your back is straight, wow. It's able to stand up for 3 hours without being in pain. These are things we take for granted. Recognize that this is all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what we have to recognize. And here the Be'am Derech points out something very interesting. He says you want to know one of the areas where it's really hard to see Hashem and people really take it as themselves and as mikra, and this is chance or this is kochi v'yotam yati, look what I've accomplished. He says when a person is successful, When a person is successful, the natural human state is not to say, well, thank you, Hashem, for giving me A, B, and C, but rather, look how brilliant I am, look how smart, and look how creative, and look how, you know, diligent, whatever it is. And he says, you find this in war. When a nation wins a war, there is a big hoopla that goes on. And the generals are given, you know, more medals, and everyone speaks about how strong this nation is. Right? We suffered in Eretz Israel after the Six-Day War, right? And we suffered from the 73 War, that you're, you know, this invincibility type of mindset. He says, you have to recognize that this is really where the challenge comes from, that you recognize that this is all coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he says all three things are found, hinted at, in this Rashi. When the Torah begins off, when Rashi begins off, and he says that the Torah is given for us, that before we even have, right, the question of why don't we have the first mitzvah? And the answer is, before we can have the first mitzvah, we need to have the mitzvah, we need to have the one commanding us. This is in order for Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, to be able to have the ability to understand that there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, that He created this world. And even before you can go and do the mitzvahs, you have to have this relationship with Hashem. And you have to see that this relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu is about a Mesiras Nefesh thing, Hashem through the world and being able to Moser Nefesh to Hashem. And where do you see this? You see this in the Avos HaKadoshim, who were able to intuit, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Sefer Bereishit is about what it means to be able to see the beauty of Hashem and to be able to be Moser Nefesh for that beauty. But then the final part of this Rashi is to teach us, and that's the Chiddush that Be'am Derech says. It's not to teach the Umos HaOlam, the nations of the world, about that Hashem created the world and Hashem gave it to whoever He wanted. It's to teach us, lest we have this philosophy, hey, look, we conquered the land, right? We are strong. And the nations say, Listim Atem, you're robbers. We have to respond. It wasn't us that conquered the world. It's Bitsona Natna, Bitsona Natla. The Rashi is coming to teach us that what our response has to be to the Umos HaOlam. Our response has to be to ourselves first. We can't even possibly face the nations of the world. This Rashi really isn't geared to them. The Rashi is geared to us. The Rashi is teaching us how we need to look into Sefer Bereishit and Ma'aseh Bereishit and be able to concretize these ideas. Look into Sefer Bereishit, realize there's a Borei Olam, there's a Creator. Look into the stories of Bereishit and the stories of the Avos and see what it means to have Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem. And finally be able to understand in the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim and in the story of the Geula from Egypt has nothing to do with us. It has to do with Hashem's strength. And that when we win a war and we're victorious in a battle, let us not think for a moment about us and about our victory and our warrior and how strong we are. Understand! Birtsono Natna, Birtsono Natla. What this Rashi is teaching us is a fundamental aspect of life. It's not about us, it's about Hashem. And recognize in all aspects of life, whatever it is, no one can touch something that belongs to the friend Kimelo Neima. The whole philosophy of life, Rabbi Yitzchak is saying to every Yid, before you can go on to Pasuk Beis and Chumash, learn this lesson. Birtsono Natna, Birtsono Natla. Hashem gives and Hashem takes. On the second level, that's schar va'onesh, that's reward and punishment. On the third level, that's the emunah of seeing Hashem's hand in every step of the way and recognizing that nothing is by accident, that nothing happens in a haphazard way. And recognize how Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us, I'll call Tzad Vishal, at every step of the way. And that, he says in 23, And this has to be our mindset to work on, in our parnasa, in our sustenance, in our healing, and in all that we're involved with. When we try to go through the teva way, the doctors, the medicine, going out to work, we always have to keep in mind that a person has to have bitachon and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that nothing happens in a natural way, and the whole world is nes, the whole world is miraculous. First idea, centrality of Eretz Yisrael. Second idea, you're living in God's house. First day of school, there are rules. Basic rule in this world is schar va'onesh. You got to follow the rules. You follow the rules, you get rewarded. You don't, there's a consequence. That has to be the ABCs. Persona not na, persona not la. In his will, he gave it. In his will, he takes it away. The third idea is not so much as the first two are to the outside world. It's really to us. It's to recognize that every person, every Jew needs to understand before we can begin with a Chodesh HaZeh Lachem, the first mitzvah. You have to believe there is somebody who's commanding you. You have to have a relationship with them. You have to see their beauty in this world and be Moser Nefesh for them. And third, recognize that they are in charge of our lives every step of the way, and don't take credit for winning the war. It's not about you. It's about Hashem who gives and Hashem who takes. And Hashem is the one who fights our wars. Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem techrishun. Hashem fights and we are silent. The fourth level is a very interesting idea of the Lev Shalom, Shalom Shradron Tzatzal. Recession source number 24. This Rashi is teaching us something else completely. If the third level was talking about our relationship to Hashem, this fourth level is talking about our relationship with ourselves, or so more so about how Hashem views each and every one of us, rather than how we view Hashem. And he notes here that there's a very beautiful Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem Chiba Yiseira Nodalo Shenivra B'Tzelem Shenemar Ki B'Tzelem Elokim Asah to Adam. Beloved is man that was created in the image of God. And there is an extra belovedness that it is known that we were created in the image of God, right? And this, he says, is so true. If you have a gift, like say you have $10,000 under your mattress, right? And you don't even know that the $10,000 is there, so you're really not rich. It's not enough to know you have a Tzelem Elokim, that you have the image of God. It has to be Chiba Yisera Shadal Datlo. It has to be known to you that you have a Tzelem Elokim, that you have a... that you have this gift. And he notes, Rosh Shadron, that this knowledge is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu innately puts in each and every one of us. We understand that we have a godly soul. And we also understand we have Bechira, we have choice. All of humanity. There's a good part of us and there's a bad part of us. There's a good inclination in us and a bad inclination in us. And that's our struggle that we go through in life. But a Jew has an extra aspect. A Jew has the idea that we are banim lamakom, we are the children of Hashem, and that v'otchi b'yiteru nodah lahem, and it is known that we are the children of Hashem, and we were given this kli chemda, we were given this special Torah, the special gift that makes us unique and special, and we are well aware of this gift. Now, explains Rosh Shadon the following. He says, when a person understands that they are special, and a person understands that they're gifted, in whatever area it is, so they act differently, right? A person who's gifted says, wow, let me use my gifts. They have a feeling of importance. They have a feeling of worth. They have a feeling of, let me be able to, you know, develop and utilize as much as possible this gift that was given to me. My friends, each and every one of us has this innate gift of the Tzelem Elokim, the divine image, that we are special, that there's something unique in us, there's something special in us, that we are created in God's image, and that we have a Torah that directs us on how to live in this God's image. And here Rosh Shadron says, all of this is hinted at in this first Rashi. It's a gewaldig pshat. He says, when we take a look at the Rashi, which says, Koach Masav Higid Lamo, which literally means the power of his actions he told to his people. So he says in the asterisk in source 30, De'ein ha'kavana she'Kadosh Baruch Hu Higid Lanu Kan Kocho HaGadol Shebeyecholto Lasor. It's not like the third level, which means that Hashem showed us all of his power, and Hashem showed us all of his greatness, and Hashem showed us all that he could accomplish in this world. No. Ela kavana hi, but rather the meaning is, she'Kadosh Baruch Hu magid lanu et kocham shomasav. Koach masav higid lamo means he showed us the power of those who were created in his image, what they could accomplish. What the tzaddikim, the righteous people in every generation who are created in the image of God and know that they're created in the image of God, what they can accomplish. Koach masav higid lamo, the way we've been understanding it is God shows us the power, the way he created this world, and we are enthralled by this and come closer to him. Rosh Rajon says there's a different reading. Koach masav higid lamo, the koach, the potential in the masav, in God's creations, the potential that we have, and that's why we need the story of the Avos to teach us what we can accomplish if we are aware of how great we are. This is what it means, when are we going to reach the level, this is one interpretation of our forefathers, of our foremothers. What was so great about them? They understood the koach masav. They understood what it means to live a level of chiba yisera. They understood what it means to live a level of connection to Hashem. That they understood that they were godly and how to live a godly life. They understood what that meant in walking with Hashem at every step of the way. And this is the idea that says the Rav Shrojon, he says, Heyach ni tangua anvot v'lehefach hagoyim v'shar v'shayim u'kishenedad derchei avoteinu nagil ha'techlit shu shmir samitzvot v'eretz Yisrael. The goal here is for us to realize our potential. That the first Rashi, even before we can talk about mitzvos, is we have to talk about koach ma'isav higid la'amo. That how much Hashem has invested into each and every one of us. That's the message of Ma'isav Reishit. To see what it means to be created in God's image. To see what it means to live a life like our forefathers, like a Moshe Rabbeinu. And that this first Rashi is telling each and every one of us, you want to approach Torah? Let me put on the right mindset for you before you deal with mitzvot. Let me tell you the mindset of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted you. That's the deeper idea of Birtzono Natna Birtzono Natla. Hashem gives and Hashem takes. Look at how much Hashem has given us. Look at the power that's inherent in this world. And be able to look at this power of giving and the power of taking. And seeing how much we can accomplish. Seeing how much we can do in this world. And this is in fact the way the Imre Chaim speaks about the Medrash, which was the debate among the Malachim, should we create man or shouldn't we create man? And they were in a level of suffix, in a level of debate. And the way he explains it in source 31, in the asterisk, he says, Havikuah ben Malachim im kedai livro to Adam or lo, whether we should create man or not, is shemekevan shebechol yimei Adam o made hu besuffik. Our entire lives, we're in doubt. Are we going to stand up to the nisyonos, to the challenges that we have, and reach our shleimos, and reach our potential or not? And we never know whether it was worth being created or not. We never know because we're not created like an elephant who's always an elephant. We're always in motion. We're always in development stage. That was the question. Do you create man or not? Because at every moment it's hanging in the balance. Right now, are we going to develop our potential? Right now, are we going to be a koach ma'isav? Are we going to be an example of what it means that we can bring our innate abilities to fruition and bring a Kiddush Hashem into the world or not? That's the challenge that we have. And this is the challenge which is established from moment go. Hashem has given us a tremendous amount. Are we utilizing what we had or are we not utilizing what we have? And that Eretz Yisrael here almost becomes a symbol of every Jew who's created in the image of God. Just like Eretz Yisrael is a beloved land of God, we are the beloved individuals of God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, if I'm investing in the land, I'm investing in you, where are you? Are you meeting up to your potential or not? To guide man 33 in this struggle, Hashem gave him a set of instructions and mitzvos. And the underlying principle of all the mitzvos is to take the gashmias and turn it into an instrument for ruchnias. When a person follows the mitzvos, he transforms the physical world. The instrument, the Yetzer Hara, uses to mislead us into sin, says Rav Belsky, into a vehicle for ruchnias. We can either view the world as an end in itself, or we can see through the illusion of materialism and perceive the spiritual potential within the Gashmir and use it to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is, he declared, the power of his deeds, the potential of mitzvos to transform the Gashmias into a vehicle for ruchnias, to his nation who accepted the commitment to further his divine plan, to give them the inheritance of the people, the land of Canaan, the raw material that embodies the greatest potential for increasing ruchnias. Hashem demonstrated this convincingly by giving us the personal example of the Avos HaKadoshim, who accomplished these goals and serve as role models to us. This is what the world is about. It's about being able to take Eretz Yisrael, to be able to take the physical and raise it to the spiritual. This is the story of the Avos HaKadoshim, who took the physical and raised it to the spiritual. This is the idea in 35 that Moshe Rabbeinu says Imre Chaim was originally called an Ish Mitzri, and the last parasha he's called an Isha Elokim. That's our challenge. How do we raise ourselves up into being spiritual beings? And my friends, that's a challenge that we are confronted with each and every moment of our lives. Are we able to be the Koach Maisa? Are we able to be the strength of his deeds? Are we able to be a model of what does it mean? Somebody who's created in the image of God and being able to lead a life dedicated to Hashem. I'd like to end with one final idea, a very beautiful Hasidic insight of Rav Pinchas Friedman and Shvile Pinchas, which I think perhaps will give us a little bit of a hint, a little bit of a etza on how we can work on ensuring that we stay on this right path, that we can stay on, that we are the embodiment of the way Hashem envisioned the way he created us. And that's found in the Pasuk in 36, Vayomer Elokim Nasa Adam, when God said, let us make man, Betzalmenu Kedmiktenu, in our likeness and our image, Vayivra Elokim Et Adam, and Hashem created man, Betzalmo, in his image, Betzalmo Elokim Barauto, in the image of God, he created him. So the Megale Amukos notes that Nasa, let us make man, is Rashi Tevot, is an acronym for Nimlach, let us take advice, Ayin, Im, Shammai, and Hillel. Let's ask, right, the famous personalities, Shammai and Hillel, whether we should create the world. Right, the imagery of being that Hashem was Nimlach with the neshamos of the tzaddikim, he took advice from the souls of the great people. Why Hillel and Shammai? So the obvious reason in 37 is because Hillel and Shammai represent the Hashem Elokim. Shammai was the kapdan, was the very strict one, that's the Elokim. We'll get God originally created the world, and Hillel is more of the Rachman, more of the beloved, that's the way God ultimately creates the world. Those two form the bedrock of what this world is about. But it goes much deeper than that. We know, says the Avogad HaBosem, that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kibel mihillel b'shamay. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai received from Hillel and Shammai, he was their student, and hu haya omer, and he would say, Im lamadet Torah harbei al tachzik tova latzmacha ki lekach tzarta. If you learn Torah, don't take a lot of credit for it, because that's why you were created. And he explains this idea with the following insight. He says, we know there's a very famous argument that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai had. Is it better that Hashem created the world or not? And halal omrim, one group says, Noach lo la'adam shelo nifra, it's better we weren't created. And the other one said, no, noach l'adam shenivra, it's better we were created. Nimnu v'gamru. They debated this, and noach lo la'adam shel nivra yoter m'shenivra, and the conclusion was, it was better that we weren't created, now that we're created, we have to do Torah ma'asim tovim. So he explains here that this idea of nimnu, it literally means to count. And I did a cheshbon. If you take a look, there are 365 ways we can mess up, 248 ways that we can do good. There's more ways to mess up than to do good. It was better that we weren't created. Ah, but how do you still, nevertheless, live in this world when there are so many pitfalls? The asterisk in 39, this is the key. Call a mezakeh tarabim, one who is mezakeh tarabim, who brings chut, who brings merit to the masses, ein chet ba'al yado, then sin will not come to this person. Which means, what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying is, if you learn a Torah just for yourself, you're in big trouble. But if you recognize that Torah is not just for you, but Torah is in order to be able to share it with others, if you recognize that the Torah, which is obviously the Torah you learn, as well as, we've spoken many times, Torah is your chelek, the gifts that you've been given, that you share with the community, you share with others, and you're not living a world for yourself, so such a person is going to be protected from sin. And that's really hinted at when Hashem says, Nase Adam. Hashem is saying, I want to be an Adam from the word Adam Eloyon. Let him learn from God. And just like God, but Salmenu Kijmutenu, just like God's image is about giving, that God created a world not to take, but just to give to us, so too man has to be likened to God. 42, and the way we can be likened to God is in order to give to others. You want to know what the secret of living in this world is about? You want to know the secret of Koach Maisav Higid La'amo? Of what does it mean that you can be able to take your specialness and allow it to shine and be a protection from falling into the snares of temptation? The answer is very simply, share with others. When you hear a good word, share with others. When there's a community project, share with others. When you live your life in thinking, in davening, in acting, and sharing with how you can be able to impact others, in that way you will be successful. And that's what the Lekach V'Alibuv notes. He says, he heard once, the reason why our heart is on our left side of our body in 43, when more logically the heart should be on the right side, because the right is the sign of strength, and the heart embodies the strength, the lifeblood of the human being. It would make more sense our heart should be on our right, not on our left. But he explains, no, the purpose of creating a heart symbolically is to take this heart and to share with others. When I share with another, so when this person stands near me, my heart is to that person's right side, and that's where it belongs. I'm here to be able to give to others. And you know something, my friends? He brings down from Rav Henoch Alexander on the Pasuk by Ruth and Naomi, where Naomi's teaching Ruth the different halachas. Vatera ki mitametzet hi, and she sees that she is persistent, which means that pshat is that Ruth is persistent that she wants to go with her. But the deeper understanding is shakavana al Naomi batzma. When Naomi saw that by teaching Ruth, she herself became stronger. She herself was mitametze, became stronger. Then we recognize the power of what it means to share and give with others. Don't think for a moment that when you share an idea with somebody, when you take the time to help somebody, that you're losing out. No, ki mitametze, you're becoming stronger. This is how you become a great person. The more you share, the more you teach, the more you're involved. That's mitametzet. By Naomi teaching Ruth, she became stronger. When we share with others, when we give our time to others, when we're involved in communal aspects, that's when we become great. And that's the idea in the Rashi, Bersono Natna, Bersono Natla. Life is about giving and taking. That's the essence of Biderech Drush, of what humanity is about. It's not just living for yourself. It's recognizing that Koach Masavi Gilamo, Hashem made us incredible. Now the question is, what are we going to do with it? If you keep it to yourself, even with all this knowledge, it's limited. But when you share with others, that's when the greatness shines. That's when you become somebody who's worthy to emulate. And therefore, in conclusion, my friends, such a simple Rashi about how the nations of the world will accuse us of being robbers, it's not so simple at all. It's teaching us four fundamental principles. One, to us and to the world, Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. It makes no logical sense, but it's ours, and we have the right and the claim to this land, no matter how many UN petitions there are, and how many councils there are, and how many peace treaties there are, the land belongs to us. And they're always going to say, Listim Atem, you're robbers, and they've been saying it through history. Point number two, everyone needs to know in the whole world, and this is even before you can take on seven mitzvahs or Torah, there's a schar va'onesh, reward and punishment. You're living in God's world, these are the rules. Idea number three, we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have fundamental principles of emunah, of faith. No God exists, Koach Ma'aseh Gilamo, see Hashem's hand in the creation, and finally being able to live that reality that nothing is by chance. And when we win wars, it's not us that's winning it, it's God taking and God giving, and we are just the emissaries. It's not the medicine, it's God through the medicine. And finally, it's not about so much God's greatness, but our greatness. We are the Koach. We are the symbol of God's greatness in this world, where we have the ability with our Tzelem Elohim and our knowledge of being created in the God's image of what we can accomplish. The Torah, the Avos, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, teaches us what we can achieve, what levels we can achieve. But you want to know the secret of greatness? The secret of greatness is Avraham Avinu, who builds the altar and calls out in the name of Hashem, as do all the others. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the Rabbeinu, our teacher. The greatness is our hearts on our left side, because it's there to help another. That Hillel and Shammai understood, it's a challenging world we live in. There's a struggle going on. You want to know a safeguard? Don't live the world for yourself. When you share the world with others, when you give of your gifts and of your Torah to other people, then you will see that not only have they been affected, but mitamet said you have become stronger, and you then become that model of Koach Ma'aseh Higid La'amo.